Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Get it for the fourth time. Prescott.
Oh, a lot of time. Oh.
Airs it out deep down the field. CeeDee Lamb breaks the tackle. No one home. Touchdown, Dallas.
A bad day in Big D yesterday. We're here to talk about it today. Good morning, everybody. Max is with me. Ben will join me at 12. The 44-22 loss over... I'm
not in the stream yet, am I? You need me in the stream, don't you?
Yeah, I'd prefer it, but you know, if you don't want to show your face after a loss like that, I completely understand.
I'm potting myself up in the stream. My apologies. A little bit off today. 44-22, the final in Dallas. It seems like the loss itself was the least of the concerns. We've got a quarterback who is hurt again. And the defense is playing as bad as any defense in the league is right now. And look, last year they were able to overcome a bad defense because they were playing the likes of Deshaun Watson and Jake Haener and Spencer Rattler and Kenny Pickett and Andy Dalton. But this year, when you've got the likes of Dak Prescott twice, Patrick Mahomes, Jared Goff, and still down the road, Jalen Hurts twice, dare I say it, the season feels like it's on the brink. And I promised last week that if they lost yesterday, I would not go down this path in mid-October with still 10 games left. But if Jaden's going to be an in and out of the lineup quarterback, well, that alone ends any serious hope of having a good season. But on top of that, the defense being in total disarray, it's worse than I thought it would feel here on this Monday morning following the loss yesterday. They're 3-4. They're obviously not out of it. They don't have the worst record in the league. But 3-5 looks like more than just a possibility. It looks like a probability heading to Arrowhead a week from tonight to face the Red Hot Chiefs. Now, I said that the 44-22 loss against the Cowboys is actually the least of their concerns. Their biggest concerns out of the game yesterday are a quarterback who is hurt again. Dan Quinn said afterwards that Jaden Daniels will have an MRI today on his hamstring. It did seem like it was not a super serious injury. You know, he gave the thumbs up to his family, his mother, and Quinn talked about after the game that Jaden wanted to come back in to the game and play. They wouldn't let him. So I guess that we could get some really good news today. But you certainly, with this guy now, through 27 games, not all 27 involving him, we're now on injury number 3 in 27 games, and I can do that math. That's an injury every 9 games. I know it doesn't work that way, but it's for emphasis to say, yeah, this was, with his frame, the number one concern that some of us had, and we are seeing now with him that a brilliant talent has to be available to play for his team to succeed, and we've got 3 injuries in 27 games and 2 already in 7 games this season. That is obviously a big, big storyline coming out of the game. And it's not just a weekly storyline, as in the lead up to the Kansas City game. There's a bigger picture conversation we have to have. And we've had it before, but now we really have to have, you know, I got so much on social media. God, thank God I don't look at it during the game. I really don't. But I look at it before the show. I mean, I must have had at least a dozen tweets explaining to me that as long as you let Jaden run and as long as you have him as a running quarterback, he's never going to survive. He got hit in the pocket. He got hurt in the pocket. Yes, the Green Bay injury was with him on the run, but it wasn't a designed run. It wasn't an option run. It was a scramble. Stop it with that. He is clearly a player that I think we're going to have to deal with this, you know, and that is going to be problematic because his talent is unmistakable. His impact on a game is unmistakable, and I'll get to his game yesterday in great detail when I get to my game take. But availability is the greatest ability, and it's possible he's going to miss more time in a season that, from that standpoint, the injury standpoint, has really gone sideways. And it happens to every team. You know, every team has years like this one, you know, and there's a long way to go. There are still 10 games, but it seems like, as NFL fans, right, when teams start this way, it typically continues this way. And you have those seasons in which you get bit by the injury bug. And Quinn said after the game, injuries had nothing to do with this. We don't make excuses. That's fine. We can talk about it. I know what injuries are in the NFL. They're a reality. They're not an excuse. They're real. And when they happen, they impact games and they impact seasons, period. End of discussion. You don't have to call in and say, next man up, and all of that, you know, bravado. Everybody understands, yeah, in the fight, when you're actually in the fight, next man up. But when you're evaluating it, of course it matters. You'd have to be an idiot to say that injuries don't matter, that they don't impact games and seasons. And so far, this season has been impacted by the number of injuries that they have had. With that said, I'm kind of with Quinn yesterday to a certain degree that the biggest issue for them wasn't necessarily that they were missing 3 receivers, their 3 starting receivers. It was an issue. It absolutely was an issue. But they had a lot of issues yesterday, a lot in terms of why they lost that game. All right, so I want to just hear in the open before I get to the specifics of, you know, what was good from the game, what was bad from the game, and everything else. I do want to just start with this and acknowledge this for people out there like me who are massive Jaden Daniels fans and believers, and there's no reason, obviously, not to be, you know, after a couple of games this year where it wasn't exactly like it looked last year. He didn't play well yesterday. The offense didn't play well yesterday. Part of it is the limitations that they had at receiver. No doubt, to say otherwise, again, is stupidity at the highest level. You can say both things. It limited them, and also, hey, by the way, too bad, next man up, overcome it. And by the way, they have overcome it. I mean, they overcame it 2 weeks ago. I mean, they had Debo on the field, which was helpful. They nearly overcame it the other night with a less than 100% Debo on the field. I think that was clear Monday night. One less mistake, and they probably would have gotten through that game, but they weren't going to get through this game playing the way they played with the limitations or without them. They just didn't look right at any point. You know, perhaps they were on the verge of getting it together. You know, they had scored on a long drive at the end of the first half, and they were on the move in the third quarter. You know, we've seen bad halves or halves that weren't stellar, and then we've seen Jaden and the offense turn it around and be lights out in the second half. And they were certainly on the move in the third quarter, down 27-15. Would have been nice had it been 20-15 or 23-15 instead of 27-15. We'll get to, you know, how they ended that first half when I get to the game take. But it's very possible, and I had a friend of mine who is a coach in town just say, you know, they were going to score on that drive if he doesn't get hurt. And then all we were looking for was just one or two plays defensively the rest of the way, and it was going to be, there was going to be a chance. I tend to agree with that. I don't know if the defense was going to come up with the one or two plays that it was going to need to have, but they were on the move. Jaden had completed that 3rd and 10 off schedule to Chris Moore, and then it was the next play where not only did he get hurt, he failed to protect the football. And with that turnover, his 3rd in 2 games, and added to that, him leaving the game, there went any hope of some sort of, you know, legitimate or even long shot comeback against the Cowboys. So, look, Jaden and the offense didn't do enough. That was true yesterday. They needed to play a flawless game. He needed to be what he was last year in games, knowing what the defense was up against the Cowboys, and they didn't. Now, what's also true about yesterday's game, and why I am willing to consider that here on October 20th at 3-4, with still 10 games left, the season is a bit on the brink. It is potentially about to come off the rails a bit. And let me just be clear. I'm not predicting that it's going to be. I've watched too many NFL seasons like many of you have. You know how things just change. And a couple of weeks from today, we could be thinking something completely different about this team. But you can only say what you feel in the moment. And I know that there's a chance that it will turn around. But in this moment, the defense is so bad. It is such an abject disaster with, I'm not sure, an obvious answer. And because, like I said, there aren't Jake Haners and Kenny Picketts and Spencer Rattlers and Deshaun Watsons and even like Daniel Jones in New York last year, there aren't a lot of those opportunities left. Or, you know, there isn't a Russell Wilson game against the Giants. There isn't a Geno Smith game against the Raiders. There aren't many of those left. Maybe the Miami game in Madrid. I am concerned that the big picture is not very rosy right now. And I think that leads me to what we've talked about a lot going back to last year. Is it a personnel issue or is it a defensive coordinator issue? I've told you guys for about a month running, I have been told, and the most recent was about 2 weeks ago, it's not just the defensive coordinator. It's a lot of things. It's a lot of things. But if you heard Dan Quinn after the game, it sounds like everything is on the table. He was asked about, once again, the explosive plays. And how about the play that we came in with, the 74-yard touchdown pass to C.D. Lamb, where Quan Martin and Marshawn Lattimore did their thing. They ran into each other for like the 7th time this year.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
It's actually becoming a ritual, a weekly ritual, that they run into each other, they knock each other down, and allow the other team to end up with a big play. And there were a lot of big plays yesterday. And remember when Joe Witt spoke last week, I said, this isn't about DeAndre Swift's breaking of a tackle on a 55-yard, you know, touchdown. He, you know, had sort of pinned that on, well, that's going to be called an explosive. Yeah, well, guess what? Olamide Zaccheaus' drop would have been an explosive, too, of about 97 yards. Like, context, your defense was terrible on Monday night. It wasn't about one play and one missed tackle. It was much more than that, as it's been against any capable team. Joe Witt's been the team's defensive coordinator now for 27 games, 20 last year and 7 this year. And the defense during his 27 games has been majority of the time bad. And it's really bad right now. So Dan Quinn was asked about another 6 to 7 explosive plays that they gave up in the game yesterday. And here's what he said.
Dan, with those big plays keep happening, how frustrating, and first of all, why, I guess, but just how frustrating is it that game after game they keep happening?
Yeah, it's very frustrating. We'll look at everything, man. We're going to look at everything to, you know, have a play that goes down the field and you know, throw over your head or a good battle. Like, I can live with that one, but the ones of the big explosive plays that I can't put my finger on, that's a lot for us to dig into. If I had one specific reason, I'd say this or this. But, yeah, we got, like I said, a lot to get better at, and it's definitely frustrating.
So Dan Quinn, going to look at everything. And by the way, if you've watched this for him, wow, he was not happy. He was legitimately not happy. And Dan Quinn's not a pound your fist on the table, expletive, you know, post-game coach. But you could tell he is on the brink himself of having had it with the defense. Now, there were other follow-up questions, and we'll play some of those. But the big takeaway, and it happened quickly, John Keim got right to it, is, yeah, we are going to look at everything. And let's be specific. The question was asked about the defense and the explosive plays that it continues to give up. By the way, I think he needs to examine everything, because I didn't love what was happening offensively yesterday. But after a game like the one yesterday, when another 6 to 7 ridiculous explosive plays took place, and by the way, now add to the defensive misery that they can't stop the run, which reverts to last year's biggest issue. They don't take the ball away. 3 total turnovers, takeaways in 7 games. Only the Jets have fewer in the NFL. I think everything's on the table. You know, and I would say this, yesterday, just like Monday night, you can't walk away from Monday night's game and say it was all the defense when the offense had three turnovers. You can't walk away from yesterday's game and say it was just the defense when the offense had two turnovers, lots of penalties, lots of drop passes, etc. But it does feel like a moment to me where something might happen. Not sure if it will, but the defense is a huge problem currently, and then looking at the largesse of 10 games left in this season. You know, they've looked like a respectable defense only against opponents who were bad offensively or injured offensively. See the Giants, the Raiders, and the Chargers. Anybody that's had any capability whatsoever, and even a team like Chicago, who's, you know, okay, they have been torched. And when it came to explosive plays yesterday, Dan Quinn said he's going to look at everything. So what's he looking at? Well, he's got, in my opinion, five options. Number one, do nothing. Number two, do something with Joe Witt Jr. from a taking away his responsibilities as a coordinator, taking them on yourself as the head coach, or perhaps giving it to somebody else. That's option two. Option three is just make personnel changes. Option four is do both. Take away his coordinating and play calling responsibilities and make personnel changes. And option five, of course, is move on from Joe Witt Jr. 7 games into year two, because overall, the resume of 27 games is not good. And I've said this before about 100 times last year, another 100 to 200 in the offseason, and even a few times this year. The personnel ain't great. I get it. But there are a few players defensively who are capable. I mean, their two tackles, at least yesterday, Kinlaw all season long, are okay. Luvu is pretty good. Sanra still, we thought last year, could really play. They drafted a rookie in the second round who everybody thinks can really play. Yeah, there have been some key injuries, no doubt. Losing Wise, losing Armstrong in the game yesterday early was huge. But those are the options for Quinn. Do nothing, number one. Number two, do something with essentially demoting Joe Witt Jr. and either taking over the coordinating and game day play calling responsibilities yourself or giving them to somebody else. Option three is just make personnel changes. Option four is do both. Take away the coordinating and play calling responsibilities and make personnel changes. And option five, and let me just be clear, I think this is a major long shot. I don't think it'll happen. I think Dan Quinn would do something in the offseason, but not 7 games into this season. Because again, part of it is more than just the defense in terms of two losses in a row. They turned the ball over 3 times on Monday night. Hard to win a game -3. Now, you can say, I need to get some of those back. And they don't get any of them back. And yesterday, it wasn't like Washington's offense was matching Dallas's offense, score for score. But those are the five options. But look, the other thing is, Jaden, back to him. You know, the offense... and the offense's biggest problem, and it's a conversation I know that we've had, but we need to have it again, is that number five is injured again. You know, this time it's a hamstring. A few weeks ago it was the knee. Last year it was the ribs. We don't know whether or not he's going to miss a game or games or any of the above. But the big picture on Jaden Daniels being injured for a second time in 7 short games this season and a 3rd time overall in the 27 games that he's been a part of the franchise is that it does feel like that this is going to be, you know, a theme every season. You know, he's going to miss some time because he's got a frame that isn't able to hold up necessarily against, you know, 17 games and the NFL talent. Yesterday, obviously, was, you know, all about him. There was only one way they were going to win that game and matching Dallas score for score is if he ended up, you know, putting on the Superman cape and doing what he did so many times last year. But he didn't really do that yesterday at all. And then he got hurt. This is certainly part of today's conversation. You know, we'll see about this one. It's new. It's a hamstring. You know, it's not a rib. It's not a knee injury. It's a hamstring injury. I would wager big money that during the course of his career, we'll have other parts of the body that end up being a, you know, central point of our conversation during football seasons. Again, yesterday was difficult for him, you know, before the injury. No, you know, limited at wide receiver. And, you know, then on top of that, penalties, drop passes, a run game that wasn't really existent. Maybe they should have tried more. I'll get to that when I get to my game take. Just penalties galore. But at the same time, he was able to overcome that all the time last year. You know, the situation being he's going to have to do it. He's going to have to rise above penalties and drops and a bad defense. And perhaps, again, I don't want to leave this as not a possibility explored, because I'll tell you, before he got hurt, I'm like, all right, here we go. You know, the drive at the end of the first half, and then they're on the move. He had the 3rd-and-2 run where he stretched it out to move the sticks. And then the 3rd-and-10, the off-schedule extend, and throw a ball to Chris Moore to move the chains. They're at the Dallas 39 pretty quickly, and they got a chance to make it 27-22 early in the third quarter. So we were perhaps on the verge. It's not like there isn't ample evidence that he is capable of going from a so-so half to a brilliant half in a game. We saw it against the Chargers 2 weeks ago. Really slow start and then brilliance the rest of the way without, you know, a great supporting cast. But he got hurt and we'll never know on that. So here we are, you know, approaching the halfway mark of the season. Approaching already the latter part of October. And this is a season that's under siege right now. It's under duress for sure. They've been an injured team, and now they are officially a terrible defensive team. And they have just one NFC win. The upcoming schedule looks brutal, and their starting quarterback is injured once again. NFL seasons are weird, man. There's a long way to go. 10 games. We know, those of us that have watched them, most of you as well, that the league will make you look stupid for declaring anything in October. But right now, Jaden's health, the health of some key players on offense and defense, and what Quinn does about the defense are the issues that need some resolution pretty quickly. I'll get to my game take when we come back, the specifics on what I liked, didn't like, and more, and then give you guys ample opportunity to vent on this Monday following an absolute beatdown in Dallas to the Cowboys to fall to 3-4 with the Chiefs on Monday Night Football at Arrowhead on deck. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app. And don't forget, when I'm able to boot us up, we're also on our live YouTube stream. Just go to the Team 980's YouTube channel, hit the like button, and hit the subscribe button when you get there.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.